Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Hey, this is Kenan, and we are live from the Music Hypebeast Studios. The Music Hypebeast podcast emulates raw, beautiful, and uncensored musical talent from all around the world. Music is the universal language of the world, and people depending on music every day to inspire them, carry them through their darkest moments, and make them feel like they can fly. Music marks time in life. My name is Kenan, and I have the ultimate honor of hosting the Music Hypebeast podcast. The Music Hypebeast podcast is syndicated on 99.7 The Heat in Miami, officially powered by iHeartRadio. Today, I have amazing recording artist and entrepreneur, Gino DaOne.
Yo. Thanks for having me, bro. God bless.
No, thank you. Thank you for being here.
No problem.
Today, he will highlight another fire in your spirit to push even harder in life. I'm honored and I'm super honored. Super honored to have you here on the show today.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Same as well. Thank you for having me.
So before we get started, I want to get into an ad by our sponsors, Laylo, for all your messaging needs, you want to use Laylo.
The ad's going on right now.
Okay, okay. Let's dive right into it, fam.
Yo, yo. What's good?
In the marathon of music, there are a million runners in the pursuit of the same goal, superstardom. You are in the track of this race right now.
Right.
Explain to the audience why you believe you're built for the long run.
My passion. See, motivation, like, kind of come and go. Passion is just in you. You either have it or you don't, to me. You know what I'm saying? Passion, it comes from knowing that you love something, and to me, knowing that you love something and that's what you want to do. And no matter what you got to go through, what you got to endure, all the trials and tribulations, it don't matter what you go through. I think passion will definitely help me win the race, because passion don't keep me going. See, if you rely on just motivation come and go, inspiration come and go, but passion, that's just, can't curse, but passion stays in you. You know what I'm saying? So if I was in a marathon, my passion is going to keep me going, and it's going to have me definitely win that race.
Okay. Like to hear that. A lot of artists burn out, quit, or simply just run out of money before their dreams come to fruition. Right. Break down to the audience, how do you pace yourself, and give us a snapshot of your mentality. Like, explain how you mentally approach life and some of your philosophies.
Well, I take my time with pretty much everything, because I feel like if you rush anything, it won't come out as great, you know, because you're rushing it.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing was just be patient. Just if it comes to creativeness, writing, whatever it has, just be patient. Mm-hmm. You know, because you never want to rush, especially the creative process. You never really want to rush that. You kind of want to just keep that, you know, like, just let it flow through you. Because if you rush creativity, I feel like that's kind of one of the worst things that you ever do, because creativity got to, like, you know, it got to just come to you. Because if you kind of, like, try to, you know, rush a painting or something like that, it's definitely not going to come out like how you pictured it in your head. So my whole process, how I approach, like, the music business or just music in general, is just patience. Because you can't, like I keep saying, you can't rush through anything. So me, I just, even when it comes down to making music, I have like a 3-day rule. Like, I take at least 1 day to 2 days writing lyrics. And then the third, fourth day, pretty much the third day, I kind of listen to it back and I just sit with it. You know what I'm saying? And then that whole week, I kind of just listen to it and just see if there's anything missing. Because, you know, just one little snare change or one little sample rearrangement, you know, or one little lyric change can literally change the whole song. So basically what's helped me is just patience, being patient, because in this industry, everything happens slow, even budgeting. Like, you have to budget, because if you have $5,000 in budgeting, that could go real quick. And if you don't use those $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, smartly, it could go quick and definitely into the wrong things that you probably don't even need marketing for or probably need promotion for. So you got to just use that correctly. I don't know if I answered that question good enough, but that's kind of like my answer right there.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Break down how your music touches people's spirits and motivates them.
Most of my music is a celebration of life. And it's also a mixture of darkness as well, a lot of mystery as well. It motivates people because I've been through a lot of heartbreak, whether it was with females or just with life, period. And a lot of my club songs are kind of like, in a way, to forget about those times. You know, it's kind of like my alter ego, my club hits those. Then I have my songs that are really deep. Like, really, like, about heartbreak and despair and just heartbreak overall, period. Just whatever heartbreak you've been through. So it kind of, my dream in music is just to always connect with the audience. And if I could connect with people that have been heartbroken, that have seen what I've seen, and, you know, want to celebrate life sometimes to get away from them dark thoughts, and or even if they want to, you know, listen to my music and connect with me on that, you know, that emotional level, they can, because my music has pain, love, heartbreak. You know what I'm saying? So what keeps people going and inspired is that I have a connection with them. And sometimes when you're heartbroken or you're depressed, you feel like nobody else out there understands you. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So my music is basically just clarification. And basically just clarification that you're not the only one out there that's going through this heartbreak or going through this issue with this girl or going through this issue in life or, you know, going through seeing poverty. You know, I've been there. I talk about it in my music, the highs, the lows. So basically what keeps people going through my music is my realness in my music. Everything I talk about is things I've been through. So people just feel inspired through my music, through the like I said, my heartbreak stories. They feel connected. And then, you know, my turn up songs too, which is just a way to celebrate life.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that answer.
No problem. Right.
Let me create an image for you. You performing at BBQ's in New York City before a sold out show. The crowd is going crazy. You on stage performing your God given gift. Mm-hmm. Are you holding the microphone, staring into a sea of people? Tell me what is going through your mind and explain how that moment will make you feel.
If it's sold out, and let's just say it's 16,000, 20,000, it's one versus 20,000. Like, I'm trying to, I'm a great performer. So I'm going to have tunnel vision the whole time I'm up there on that stage because I'm trying to kill it. I'm trying to interact with it. If there's 20,000 people, I'm going to try to find a way to interact with those 20,000.
I'm so excited about how my business is growing, but along with it, my daily life has gotten crazy, like managing my employees and taking sales calls, all while driving my kids to school, soccer practice, and trying to keep my head on straight. I don't want the growth to stop, and I know we need to create a better online presence to do that. But we haven't written a blog, posted on social media, or touched our website in months. I'm not even sure I know how to move forward, so I just haven't. But then I found The Breezy Company, a monthly marketing service subscription that provides experienced and consistent teams with your most demanding marketing tasks through an efficient and streamlined process. It's so simple. I just chose the plan I needed. They matched me with one of their amazing Breezy team members. They onboarded me, and my company was off to the marketing races. I finally feel confident that I have a team who has my business's back and is working to promote what we do, drive leads to our pipeline, and make our brand look amazing. Now, back to work. The Breezy Company, scalable marketing teams.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
People, because I want people to get their money's worth. I'm not standing up there just rapping, you know, on a back track and just moving around. I'm jumping on, you know, I'm jumping on the stage. I'm jumping with the crowd. I'm probably going by the crowd. Like, that's just me as a performer, because I want, when you come through, I want you to come through and have an experience. I don't just want you to come up there and looking at me walking back and forth. I'm going to be jumping on the speakers, rapping to everybody, because I'm like an aggressive performer. Like, I'm going to make contact with you. I'm going to talk to the crowd, because not only am I a performer, I'm an MC. So, yeah, if I had a performance at BBQ's or Madison Square Garden, I have tunnel vision. I'm focused. I'm there to shut shit down. That's my mindset, to shut it down, have the best performance. Because a lot of people, they tend to get scared to say that they're the best at something. And I feel like if you do rap or anything in this world, you got to think you're the best. So when I'm up on that stage, I'm the best musician in the world. So me is one versus 20,000. That's just how I feel.
Okay. Well, as an indie artist, you know, you got the weight of the world on your shoulders every single day. Plus, you have to manage your personal life, job, etc. You know how that go.
Yeah. So,
from your perspective, explain the life of an indie artist.
An indie artist is an artist that really don't sleep a lot, in my experience, because you gotta have a job, because if you don't have an investor, anybody that's investing in you, that's your investment right there. So it's like a never ending cycle of constant no sleep. Well, for me, because when I wake up, when I do have a job to invest in stuff, I wake up in the morning, whether it's 5, 6, 7 o'clock, and I wake up, get ready for work. And work, if I'm allowed to listen to, like when I worked at Amazon, I'll listen to music all day or listen to beats all day, just come up with ideas. Even when I'm at the workplace, I'm coming up with ideas. Like in my head, I'll be thinking of, you know, raw lines I could use. You know what I'm saying? So that part, and I feel like every artist can relate. Like we're always, creative people are always constantly thinking, no matter what situation we're in. So in my job, I'm always thinking, dang, I could probably use this as a sample, or I could write about this situation that I've seen through somebody else's eyes, especially as a lyricist, you know. Then you get home, and depending on how many hours you work, you know, I used to come home sometimes, not just Amazon, but with other jobs, I'll come home like 1-2 in the morning. Like I worked at Applebee's to fund a lot of my music a couple years ago. And I had to work, I had to close, and sometimes I ain't get out till 2-3 in the morning. But like I said in the interview earlier, the passion always kept me going. No matter how tired I was at 1, 2, 3 in the morning when I got home, I still recorded. Whether it was something, even if it was just a verse, or even if it was just an idea, or even if I was just working on a beat with a producer, you know, like I always did something because my passion kept me going. So, you know, another thing is would be going home, recording, trying to find a way to record, like, or trying to find, you know, what time of the day to record. Because at one time I was working like 6 days a week. So within those 6 days, you got to find like a balance of what hours to record, what days I could take off from recording, because you do gotta also give your brain a rest sometimes. So basically the life of an indie artist for me is like a non-sleep process, because you gotta come home from work, then you might have work the next day, and you realize, damn, I got 2 8-hour shifts. How am I gonna get this music in? Okay, I gotta sacrifice maybe a little bit of sleep when I come home to write this music. And then when my day's off, that's when I would just execute. Like if I wrote 4 songs and just did the rough draft or a reference, I would record those 4 songs or finish, you know, out of the 4 songs, maybe I didn't finish 2, you know, I'll record all of them and get them 4 or 5 songs I need to do and get them out the way before I go back to work. Because you gotta balance, because if not, you'll never get anything done, because you'll always be working. So even if you do have a job, you gotta balance that. Come home, even if you're tired, just keep pushing, and keep recording. And you're gonna be tired, but all that hard work is gonna pay off. So as an indie artist, it's difficult. And then you also gotta balance like marketing and taking pictures. So a day that you're working, let's just say I used to get off at like 3 p.m. Sometimes I'll have like a photo shoot booked at like 5, and I'll go home, take a quick shower, change into my clothes, or bring the clothes, hop in a car, and go straight to the photo shoot. So being an indie artist, not supported by major labels or having like a big investor, could be tough. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Cannon. We are here with Gino DeJuan, and we will be right back after a message from our sponsors.
Cheers. I have to talk right now, bro, or... Thank you.
All right, all right, all right. So we're back with Gino the One.
Yo, yo.
All right. So can you explain how people respond to your music when they hear it live?
Well, if it's a crowd that I really don't know anybody in, or I don't see anybody like familiar from like Twitter or something, normally it's a stare, but it's not like a bad stare. They're like, yo, this is really good. And then all of a sudden they'll just start rocking out. It's always a part. Well, I can't lie. I had one tough crowd in Dallas. They were pretty tough. But eventually I got, because me as a performer, I'm going to find a way to get the crowd to, you know, vibe to my music somehow. But normally it's very hype, very responsive, because I talk to the crowd a lot too. So I always check like the temperature with the crowd, and I always get good responses from the crowd. And when I get off stage, people love my music to the point where they come up to me and they ask for my Spotify information, Instagram. So normally when I perform, it's always great. Always great. I always shut it down. People always have a good time. Yeah, that's how it's normally at my shows and stuff.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So the music comes with zero guarantees. There's no 401k, no health insurance, no sick pay. So... why in the world are you willing to accept this high level of risk?
Because you got to take risk for what you want. If you really want it, you take a risk. And, you know, like I always keep saying, the passion don't keep you doing. So it's just and also the love of music. Because even though it's a high risk, it's not really a high risk to express yourself. You know, it's a beautiful thing to express yourself. I always tell people that don't do music, maybe you should do it for a hobby, because it's so therapeutic. So the reason why I really chose this wild business of music that is really not guaranteed is really because I'm just in love with creating. And that's a lot of people don't have that pure love. They just want to make money, or they just want to be famous. Like, I want to be famous. And of course, who wouldn't love to be paid for something that they love doing? You know what I'm saying? But that's not what I'm in for. I'm in for the creation. I love this hip hop culture. I love rapping. I love putting music together. So that's what keeps me in this wild business, because this business is not guaranteed at all. It's probably, to me, the most difficult business to get into, because there's no like application fees that you can apply for the music industry. You gotta know people. You gotta network. You gotta kind of low key. You gotta always get it out of the mud. That's why, in a way, I understand Dre when he said, "Yeah, you know, start it from the bottom." Because I don't care how rich you are. Like, money helps a lot in this industry. Yes, it does. But all of us, Dre, Jay-Z, we all started from the bottom. So what keeps me going, and what should keep everybody going in this music, if you really love it, is the love and just pushing the culture forward. Because this culture is the best culture in the world. It's hip hop. There's no other music genre that's better than this. Like, we have our own culture. So to me, like I keep saying, what keeps me pushing in this wild industry, it made me want to stay in this, is pushing the culture forward. Creating new sounds, connecting with people. I love when people message me and say, yo, your song touched me. Your song helped me through the day. You know, yesterday I was depressed. Today I turned on your music and it made me feel so much better. So the love of music and the love of just creating is what, you know, keeps me in this wild industry, this crazy, unpredictable, fake industry that we see. Mm-hmm. Because everything, I don't know what's real anymore, bro. Like, I'm at a point, like, I don't know what's bots anymore. I don't know what's real streams. So I gotta love it a lot to be able to deal with this BS. And I know you're an artist yourself, so you must have a lot of love for this too, to keep going.
yes indeed,
because there's a lot of BS that goes on, a lot of scams, a lot of people take your music. I've been in that. I've had artists take my songs, very famous artists. And it's just a wild industry. And you just always got to, well, not kind of, you got to watch your back, because you don't know who you're dealing with. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how I keep going.
Okay, okay. Well, explain some dark moments in your life where things could have really went left.
I'm sorry? Can you ask that again?
Explain some dark moments in your life where things could have really went left.
Oh, wow. Well, when I talked on the Lost Souls podcast, my whole drug addiction I went through, that could have went really bad. It went bad, but it could have went really bad to, you know, I was dead.
Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Talked about it on Lost Souls podcast, Lost Souls Survivors podcast, I think that's what it's called, I started drugs and it just became worse and worse and worse. And I got basically a short synopsis of everything. It got worse. I got more connected into the SoundCloud rap era, rapper, whole little world that was back there, you know, the SoundCloud rap era. I got caught up into that, that movement. So I started meeting a lot of people that weren't good people, you know, that got me heavily more influenced onto drugs. And that was a real dark time in my life, because I as much as I tried to get better, kept pulling me back into the drugs. I kept surrounding myself with people that honestly didn't love me and didn't care about me. I feel like I had many chances to blow up back then, like really, really blow up with my music. But I think, I know God does everything for a reason. And if I potentially would have blew up back then, I probably would have overdosed or something, bro, because I did when I wasn't famous. So that was the darkest part of my the music career. Like, I'm not saying the music career started the drugs. The drugs are more like hereditary, the drug addiction and stuff. But definitely dealing with the wrong people in the music industry could have you down a rabbit hole that you don't want to be down. You know what I'm saying? That was the darkest, because I overdosed. I got high to the point where I was in a car for, you know, hours, knocked out. Nobody could find me. Suicidal thoughts, in and out mental homes, all while chasing a music career, too. So that was definitely the darkest time of my life. Now, I've been clean off drugs for 6 years now, so it's been easier.
Congratulations. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Thank you.
Explain the good and bad parts of your childhood.
The good part was I was always able to not do what I want, because my mother wasn't having that, you know what I'm saying? But I was always able to be a free thinker. Like, I was never forced to be religious. They kind of taught me to, what my mom always taught me, to whatever made sense to you. The good parts is that, yeah, I grew up in a rough neighborhood in Miami and Broward County, Florida. But I had a good childhood. I played basketball all my life, you know, even though I grew up in a really, really rough environment, hearing gunshots and seeing friends pass and seeing friends overdose and just a bunch of death in our community, you know. But the good part about it was I actually went outside and played. Nowadays, kids don't go outside and play. Like, they're always on their phone. Like, I'm really happy I grew up as a millennial that kind of knew, well, not kind of, but knew what it was to not always have a phone on you and stuff. So that was the greatest part. I was, like I said, I wasn't forced to, oh, you got to be a lawyer, you got to be this, you got to be that. Like, my mom let me choose. You know, I wanted to be a basketball player earlier in my life. She supported me 100%. The bad part was me and my father were good now, but when I was younger, he was on drugs. He left me and my mom at around, I was around like 10 or 11. He left. So I seen my mom work 3-4 jobs. Sometimes I wouldn't see her for days, because she would have to go from one job to another, you know, and I had to grow up really fast. I had to take care of my niece and nephew, because at the time my sister was going through some drug issues and some stuff on, you know, herself. So my mom took the courage and took my niece and nephew in. So she was raising three kids without anybody, and my taking care of my grandmother while my father wasn't around. Yeah, so I seen my mom cry and through mental abuse. With me, it was physical and mental. With my mom, it was just mental abuse. But seeing my mother cry and go through all the stuff with my father in the past was horrendous. And seeing my father, because me and my father, we're good now. We fixed our relationship for about 10 years now. We've been good. But seeing my father at that lowest state of his life, you know, because like when you're a guy, you see your father as like the superhero, you know? So seeing him get defeated pretty much by drugs, by alcohol specifically, it was really bad. Because I just wanted a father there, you know what I'm saying? But thank God that my father went for help, and we're good now. And, you know, his health isn't too good. He's getting older. He got dementia. I take care of him at this time. But sometimes we go fishing. Like a couple of years ago, we went fishing and stuff. And sometimes we just converse and talk about the music industry because he don't know much about it. But we caught up. You know, we fixed everything. But that was just pretty much the good and the bad. I mean, I'm thankful I grew up where I grew up at, and I'm thankful for all the stuff that I seen in my life, because that's what made me who I am today. Like, if I wasn't brought up in that neighborhood in Miami and raised in that part of Broward County, who knows what I could have been, you know?
Who supported you? Excuse me. Who supported your music career during the startup phase?
Okay. My mom first, because at that time my father and my mom were still not together. Like, I would talk to him and stuff. I wouldn't talk to him, but my mom would still talk to him. I was young. I was still having, you know, I wasn't forgiving him and stuff. But the first person that supported me but questioned me was my mom. She was like, okay, you always loved music. You always wanted to rap. But how are you going to convert from basketball? Because I played basketball since I was 7 years old, all the way up to my high school career, all the way to my senior year. I was supposed to play college ball. My only regret was that I didn't get to play college ball. I had a junior college offer, and then I could have potentially been like a D2 or, you know, a low major Division I basketball player. I wasn't like no NBA, you know, ready guy, but I was a pretty good ball player. So the first one to support me was my mom. And then the second person was this dude that actually started making music with. He don't make music no more, but he does like his little car thing. Like, he does street cars and he fits his cars and stuff. But back in high school, like, we had a science class together in high school, and he was playing me some beats, and I was like, these are dope. Like, these are dope beats. And at that time, I was listening to a lot of Drake, a lot of Cole, a lot of Jay-Z. More because I always listened to hip-hop since I was little. I always wanted to be low-key a rapper. I just didn't know how to do it. So I just kept playing basketball because that was my first love. But then I started hearing a lot of Drake and Cole. And I was like, man, maybe I could rap. You know, like, I would freestyle here and there, and I always seen, when I was little, Jay-Z in the videos, Nelly, you know what I'm saying, 50, Kanye, all my idols and shit, all my idols and stuff. And I, like I said, I just didn't know how to do it. But, I heard his beats, and then I think the senior year, my father is so scattered because it was such a long time ago, but like 2012, we finally graduated, and I was already done with basketball. I called him over the summer, and I was like, yo, because I read him like some raps that I was just writing, because when I heard his beats, I was like, man, maybe I should start rapping. He was like, man, you should start rapping. You got the look. You got the voice and all that stuff. You just got to tighten up your pen a little bit, but maybe you should start taking it seriously. His name is Arcadio. He's still my friend to this day. So he was the first one one of the first ones to support me. And then my homeboy that I went to high school with, that I started rapping with, because I was a duo. It was me, Gino, and his name is Rufus, but his rap name was Kid X. He was the skateboarder and I was the rapper. So he was like the second person. So slowly we started building like a little group. And those are like my first supporters before I even had a song released. At this time, I didn't even have a song recorded. I was just writing stuff down, calling myself a rapper.
That's lit.
Yeah.
So, again, we are here with Gino DeJuan. I am Cannon. And we're going to be right back after a short message from our sponsors. Okay, we had a technical difficulty with our sponsors. We're going to continue with the interview.
Yo.
Okay. And we're back with Gino DeJuan.
One and only.
So, what are your thoughts on the current state of music, like on the industry as a whole?
You'd have asked me this like a year ago in a horrible place, but I think after that Drake and Kendrick feud, I think we're in a good place. Like that whole beef and dropping the songs, even with the Future and everybody involved, I look at it more as like, thank God we got some good music. Because these last 2 years, 3 years has been, to me, kind of trash. I mean, we've had great artists, but it's too much like the same stuff. Like, I want to hear a female like Lauryn Hill. You know, like, I want to, like, it's cool to dance, because hip-hop has always had that. We've always had the ratchet music. We always had the deep music. But I would love to hear more, because I love the women that are rapping, because these women that are rapping now, they can rap. But I want to hear, like, more about their story, you know? Like, I don't want to hear all the time, like, the same repetitive stuff. We know what's being played on the airwaves now, you know? Mm-hmm. And another thing is like a lot of the killing and the drill rap, like the drill rap is cool. I love it for what it is, but it's killing a lot of people in our community. You know, it's causing mm-hmm. a lot of problems. And like, I just wish it would just go back to the purity of what it was. Like, you know, hip hop was created like as a, like almost like a news thing for updates from the ghetto and, you know, the, mm-hmm. you know, fight against the power and, you know, fight against the, you know, fight for the oppressed. It's become more of just like a clout show now. Who could, what girl could shake the best ass or what guy to flaunt the most money and the most cars. And I don't think hip hop is that, but it shouldn't be all that. I feel like we need to get back to like real music, real lyrics that mean something. Of course, have our ratchet shit, our ratchet stuff and, our party and turn up stuff, but I want to hear more stories. Like I know Meg Thee Stallion, her mom used to rap, and you know she experienced her mom passing away, and a lot of these girls that are rapping now, they have amazing stories that they should share. So the rap state how it is now, I think it's in an okay, greater place than what it was. And I'm happy about that, you know, even for the females, because we got some dope MC females out there. I just wish we could shed more light to, you know, the rap cities, you know, the Tierra Wax, you know, the, you know, not the overly sexualized all the time, you know, rap that we're getting now, you know, mm-hmm. but the state that we're in now, I think it's beautiful. I think hip hop is a genre that can never be stopped. It's too powerful. We're always changing up and revolutionizing the sound is always going to change, and I think right now we're in a position of that. I think the industry is changing. I think if you're not really spitting or making really good music, I think we're not going to really hear a lot of them artists anymore, you know. So I think right now currently we're in a great place. 2 years ago, horrible place. I don't know what it was, but right now I think we're in a great place.
I believe so too.
Yeah.
Break down to us one song that you feel really just took off with your fan base.
Oh, Level Up. As soon as I dropped that song on SoundCloud, like literally that song is like 3-4 years old. But since there's like 8 billion, 9 billion people in the world, I'm still gonna keep promoting it. mm-hmm. So I released it on SoundCloud in like 2020. I was just now, because I used to go to the studio and record, but I record my own stuff. I've been recording my own stuff for like maybe like 4 years now. So I recorded that song. Actually, I recorded that song at the University of Georgia. I was living in Atlanta at the time, and I was recording at my homeboy's dorm in his closet, like with one microphone. He had a MacBook and he had an Apollo interface, and that's all we had. And I recorded Level Up, and I recorded that thing in about 20 minutes, bro. No lie. Like I heard the beat. You're a rapper yourself. You're an artist. Like when you hear that beat and it just come to you, all the lyrics, all the hook, the lyrics, the, you know, the mm-hmm. composition of the song, it just came together so smoothly. Mm-hmm. Like I was in the booth rapping, came right out. I was like, man, I don't know. This song just seemed too hard. Like this song just, I know it's gonna do good. So we got it made at the time and mastered as good as we could at the time, because at that time I wasn't even as close as good at mixing as what I am now. I released it on SoundCloud, and like a week later, I had like 300,000 plays, bro, no lie. Yeah, and I went up like, I think what happened was I did pay for a little like real deal, like SoundCloud repost, but I only paid for like, for them to, you know, promote it to like, you know, because they don't guarantee plays, the ones that I use. They, you know, they guarantee, you know, that I'll get exposure. But I guess someone done reposted it on a big page and it just started going up. And I just woke up to like, I think it was like 200 comments on it. So that's the, like, and then before that, that was the song that really went crazy. But before that, I had a song called Silence. that I recorded back in 2016, 17, a little bit before I moved to Atlanta. And I released it finally in 2018, but it was already out in 2017, 16 on SoundCloud. That's another song that took off. So those two songs, they naturally, like Level Up on SoundCloud, Silence on SoundCloud, Silence on Spotify, Level Up on all streaming. I don't even promote those songs. Those songs, they get streams every day by themselves. So yeah, those were the two first songs that everybody was like, "Oh, Geno Mike got something."
Okay, that's lit. That's super lit.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
What is one thing you want to improve? No problem. What is one thing you want to improve this year to be a better person and artist?
To be a better artist, I want to I can melodize a little bit, but I want to actually get into singing a little bit, because there's so many different emotions I could tap into with singing that I can't really do with rap. So that I want to get better in. My hooks are amazing, but there's always room for improvement. But my main thing I want to get better on is my singing vocals. I'm working on that currently, because I'm not gonna be like singing like Chris Brown or nothing like that. But I do want to eventually drop a project with just me singing and melodizing a little bit of rap, because that's what I do. At the end of the day, I'm a rapper. Like, but I'm an artist too. You know, like I don't just rap. I want to experiment with different sounds, because that keeps me motivated. That keeps me inspired, and it helps me low key doing other genres, because I write R&B records for other genres and stuff. It sharpens up my pen for my rapping game. I mean, for my rapping, like songwriting for other genres helps me with my rapping. So definitely my vocals to start singing and stuff. And I'm sorry, what was the other question?
No, there's one question. This is, what did you want to do to be a better person or artist?
Oh yeah, and then the better person. Just be a better because I could be a little antisocial at times. Like there's times where I just go to shows and I'll leave sometimes, like right after the show, instead of just networking and getting over that antisocial stuff. As a person, I feel like I could be, even though I'm a good networker, I'm quick to talk and tell you, hey, I do music, check my music out. I feel like as a person, I could be a little bit better at that with networking. Yeah, with the business side and stuff.
Okay. That's a good answer. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, excuse me. What have you enjoyed the most about being on the Music Hype Beats podcast today?
Oh, the questions, bro. And you answered some dope. I mean, you asked me some dope questions. Real talk. Like, that was probably the best part. The questions and the interviewer, you. That's what makes it a great experience. You know, like the conversation was just fluent. You know, there wasn't no awkward silence. There wasn't no, you know, you came in really prepared. And I just loved everything about it, bro. Everything.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Nah, no problem, bro.
All right, so I need you to do one thing for me right quick.
Of course.
Spell out your Instagram profile name real slow so people can follow you on the gram.
All right, for sure. It's Geno the One. So it's G-E-N as in Nancy, O-D as in dog, A, numeric one. So don't spell out one, put the actual number one. So Geno the One, G-E-N-O-D-A-1.
All right. Is that the same thing on Spotify? If not, like, give them the
highlight. Yeah, everything. Spotify. Everything on Spotify, same thing, G-E-N-O-D-A-1. Yeah, you can follow me on everything. Everything is Geno the One. Everything. Okay. And no spaces, all together. Everything.
Bet. So, Geno the One, this interview today has been very revealing and thought-provoking. Your story and courage is inspiring to anyone who believes they can do anything in life. Thank you again for sharing your story on the Music Hype Beats podcast today. Make sure you connect with my movement on Instagram. Canon Official, CVNNON Official. Again, my IG is Canon Official. Make sure you follow both the Music Hype Beats podcast on all streaming platforms, including Pandora. Lastly, follow our movement, Radio Pushers and Radio Pushers TV across all social media platforms. Our mobile app is crazy. Download the app for iPhone, iPad, and Google Play. Everyone, never stop improving yourself. Never follow the crowd. Set your own trends and focus on results and no hype.
Hey, I like that. Real talk.